The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In Paul's final letter to the young preacher Timothy, he tells him, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." In today's message, we look at the idea of fighting, finishing, and faithing. Now, for those of you scratching your heads, faithing is a word that I made up that denotes the fact that we must live by faith as we fight the good fight and finish our course. And you'll have to admit that it flows pretty well when put with the other two words. But it's important to see that these concepts go together. Fighting the good fight, finishing the course, and keeping the faith while doing so. Join us today as we begin looking at the last admonition of Paul to the young preacher Timothy, encouraging him to follow his example of fighting the good fight in a faithful way.
Blessed be the Father of our Lord, the everlasting God. All praise and honor to his name, his majesty adore. When from the dead he raised his Son and called him upon high,
2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7 are Paul's summation of and commitment to the course of his life. He says in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Tonight I want to preach to you about fighting, finishing, and faithing. Now that last one's probably not a real word, but it goes well with the other two, so we're going to use it. Fighting, finishing, and faithing. Paul says, "I have fought a good fight." This ought to remind us that we are in a war. We're not playing a game. I've said that many times. I think I mentioned it this morning. It's not a recreation room. It's a battlefield that we're on. We can play around with the kingdom of God. We can play around with the word of God. We can toy with the idea of being faithful to God. But all of that's just playing games with God. Now understand, what I'm preaching to you about is for children of God. I'm not preaching to those who haven't been born again. I'm not preaching to the unregenerate, wicked reprobates out there, because they're not interested in the things of God anyway. The most they will ever do is play around with God. But as children of God, sometimes I find myself just sort of playing around with God. Kind of got one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world, and seem like both of them are on banana peels. It's easy to slip into one or the other. It's easy to end up playing around with the things of the kingdom of God if we're not careful. And the reason it's easy, we're going to get to that, but the reason it's easy is because we're not just a child of God within our body. Now, let me clarify what I'm saying about that. We are children of God if we've been born again. But within us, there are two natures. One nature, one part of us is going to survive throughout eternity. When we go to heaven, that part of us that's been created by the Holy Spirit, the newly born by the Holy Spirit, called from darkness into His marvelous light, whatever terminology from Scripture you want to use, that part of us is going to heaven. And by the way, our bodies are too one day. If the Lord tarries, my body will die, and that spirit that's inside of me, that new creation, is going to heaven to be there with Christ forever. But one day, even the body's going. It's going to be reunited in the resurrection. But as children of God, there's another part of us, praise God, that's just going to die out. That's that old Adam man. Now, let me just make it clear. The Adam man, the old man that exists in those who are not children of God, the non-elect, that part of them is going to survive forever too. Everybody is going to live forever. You understand? Everybody is going to live forever. Children of God and those who are not children of God. We're going to live forever. The question is, where is it going to be? For the child of God, it's going to be in heaven. For those who are not children of God, it's going to be in hell. And by the way, this isn't a message just trying to scare people in from one category to the other. I'm not here, like some in the world would say, you know, asking the question, where are you going to spend eternity? Praise God, that question's been settled by God. Amen. It was settled before the foundation of the world. It was completed in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day it'll be brought to fruition in the resurrection. Okay? But we can also, as children of God, we can just kind of play around with God and with His kingdom. You know, one of the things that's evident in the world is that there's just not many people in going to churches where the truth of God's grace is preached. You know, now you can come to a couple of different conclusions about that. One conclusion that some people come to wrongly is that, well, that means there's just not that many children of God. Somebody accused, may accuse us, and I've heard it said before in my presence. Y'all think y'all are the only ones going to heaven. My goodness, I hope not. I hope not. There's not many of us going, if that's the case. If they're all only Primitive Baptists are going, praise God, it's not only Primitive Baptists. It's a whole host of those who are in Baptist churches and Methodist churches and Catholic churches and no churches at all. It's a number that no man can number. It's an innumerable host. We can't count that high ourselves. God knows, but we can't. Praise God, it's not just those who are faithful. But you see, my point is that there are many who are not in those churches where the truth of God's word is being preached. Now, some of them are not there because they've just never heard it. That's all they've known. Sometimes, though, do we not find even ourselves who are members or attendees, for sure, regular attenders here at least, did we not just find ourselves getting sort of cold to the things of God and just kind of playing around? I'm going to read just a little bit. I'm going to read a verse or two and then get back to what's really important to me. I'm not really trying to go too far down that road tonight, but it occurs to me as I'm up here, I heard a preacher say one time, you can tell a lot about where a child of God is spiritually by looking at their checkbook and their appointment book. If you look at those two things, you can find out many times how faithful that child of God is. Now, let's make it personal. You and I can find out a lot about, we can take our spiritual temperature, if you will, we can find out a lot about where we are spiritually by examining our lives, looking at ourselves over the past week, say, and looking at our appointments. In my case, it's my calendar on my iPhone here. I can look and see where I've been, what I've been doing, and look at my checkbook and see how I've been spending my money. Has it been all for personal consumption and recreation and work stuff and play stuff? Or has it been actually spending some time in the Word, spending time focusing upon the kingdom of God and preparing for Sunday? You know, Sundays ought to be the highlight of our week. It ought to be the greatest day that we have. We've had, I feel cheated this weekend because we had a meeting at Tuscaloosa Church that I went to for part of the time Friday night, but I didn't get to go yesterday because, as you know, we had to take Mason to the airport. And I've heard all the reports about the good preaching from yesterday, and I feel cheated. They didn't cheat me, and God didn't cheat me. I cheated myself out of not getting those blessings. Now, I realize, don't get me wrong, I understand. We weren't able to do it yesterday. We just weren't able to go. We just weren't able to be there, and sometimes you can't either. But where are we going and what are we spending our money on? You see, that's the way to tell many times where we are spiritually. One last thing on that regard. About 5 or 6 years ago, I downloaded an app that tracks my mileage. I did it for a variety of reasons. One is to be able to track my reimbursement, my mileage for possible reimbursement on the out of my campaign fund for the campaign travel that I take. I also use it for IRS purposes. When I'm going to do something related to preaching or related to my job, I can count that off, some of that off, that mileage off on my taxes. And it turns out that it tracks everything. It tracks everything. It doesn't just track your, I categorize it into preaching or kingdom of God work or campaign work or others, just personal, okay? Do you know how much more the personal outweighs the preaching? This is convicting. It's been more convicting than anything else. Now, some of the personal stuff is also kingdom of God stuff, but it's just, my point is that I've been real convicted when I examine my life in that way. But you see, we shouldn't be playing around with the kingdom of God. We shouldn't be playing around with God, period. We are in a war. We're not in a game. It's not a game. It's a war. And he said here, I have fought a good fight. Now, this is important, too. We need to remember here of what he's saying. He said, I've fought a good fight. He didn't say, I've fought a bad fight. Many times in our human nature, we get caught up in a bad fight. I've heard a lot of churches that have had all kinds of fights within their membership. You know, conference used to be a day of great duking it out. You know, it used to be a slugfest in some of the conference meetings that I heard about down through the years, even in Primitive Baptist churches. Beloved, it ought not so to be. Those aren't good fights. There's other fights that are bad fights. Fighting with your family, that's a bad fight. Fighting over a promotion, that's a bad fight. Fighting over a ball game. My goodness. Now, I'm not just talking about Alabama and Auburn football, Brother Roger. You can get into that. I heard about a man that back years ago, he was a big-time Auburn fan, and when he was listening to the Auburn game, Auburn-Alabama game on the radio, and when Van Tiffin kicked the field goal and beat Auburn at the last minute, he threw his radio out in the yard and shot it with a shotgun. Now, that's a bad fight. That's a bad fight right there, okay? He said we need to fight the good fight. What is the good fight? Well, look back just a few pages to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 11, just to sort of pick up some of the context there. Earlier in this chapter, he's telling Timothy there about some things that are wrong, men that are teaching unwholesome words and proud and boasters and disputes and talking about the love of money, which is the root of all evil. In verse 11, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Now listen, verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith." See, the good fight is the fight of faith. It's the fight of faith. He said, "Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called." Now, what's he talking about? Do everything you need, do things that you have to do in order to go to heaven? That's not what he's talking about at all. Eternal life is something that God has laid upon you, but you ought to lay hold of it. There are many children of God that don't live like they're going to heaven. There are many children of God that live their lives as if all they're ever going to have is what they can accumulate here. And that's a temptation for all of us. He's just talked about that. The love of money is the root of all evil. Nothing wrong with money. We need money to survive. We need material things to survive. But when that becomes our focus, when that becomes our goal in life, when accumulating things is how we define ourselves, that we're not fighting the good fight of faith. We're not laying hold on eternal life. We're laying hold on the fleeting things of life. You see, and he also said, by the way, I'm so thankful that he didn't say, "I have always won." That's not what he said, is it? He said, "I've fought the good fight, and I've always won every time." That's not what Paul said. In fact, there's a place over in Romans chapter 7 where he declares, "O wretched man that I am." Not that I was, that I am. That gives me some hope, Brother Buddy, because I see myself as a wretched man. You know, I'm feeling pretty good right now, standing up here in the pulpit and reading God's word and feeling the Spirit of the Lord. You rewind a few days and you're going to find that I wasn't feeling very good. I wasn't being very victorious. I certainly wasn't living my best life now. Paul didn't say, "Boy, I've lived my best life now." Praise God for that. If that's the only people that live their best lives now are the non-elect reprobate. You know, the child of God's best life is to come. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight." He said, "I fought the fight of faith. I haven't lived in a state of continual victory, but I have lived in a state of continual warfare." I heard one elder some years ago make the statement that the new birth makes a battleground out of the heart. And it does. It does. No battleground before there's two natures. There's no natures warring against each other when all you've got is the old human nature. That human nature is satisfied with this life. That human nature is not fighting against anything. But Paul says, "I've lived in a state of continual warfare, not continual victory. I haven't won every time, but I've tried." Paul doesn't say that we're going to win every time, but he's saying by example here that we ought to try, fight the good fight. And as in any war, there's enemies, right? There's enemies. There's a reason it's a fight. If there was no enemy, there'd be no fight. We have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, I've heard people make the statement, "The devil made me do it." There's some things the devil probably has tempted you to do. But remember now, the devil is not everywhere present and nowhere absent like God. The devil is an entity. The devil can't be everywhere at once. I think it's the rare situation where the devil himself has actually tempted me. I don't think I've risen high enough in the fight. I don't think I've done as well enough to really be getting the devil's attention. You know, he's sort of left me alone at times. Oh, McCool over there, he's just wallowing around in sin. I'm going to leave him alone and go tempt Brother Buddy or somebody else that's doing better than he is. But you see, there's many, there's other problems than just the devil. Some people think that if the devil were bound, that's one of the problems with the thinking that the misunderstanding that we're not living in the kingdom. You know, the Bible says that the devil will be bound for 1,000 years. And people think, well, if the devil was gone, sin would be gone. No, sin wouldn't be gone because we are sinners. You see, there's other enemies besides just the devil. The world is out there. 1 John 2:16 tells us, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's our enemy out there. You know, there's places you can go in this world. You can go to the Strip in Las Vegas. You can go to the Strip down on University Boulevard here in Tuscaloosa. You can go to places really close by. You can go online to places where the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is manifest in very graphic ways. That is your enemy. The world is your enemy. Galatians 5:17 tells us that the flesh is our enemy. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. One of the problems I have with the common interpretation of Romans 8:28, say all things work together for good. Beloved, the flesh and the spirit aren't working together. They are contrary one to another. Well, my sin, there's something good going to come out of it. Well, I'm not saying God can't overrule your sin and bring something good out of it, but there's nothing good in your sin. I can tell you that. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. The flesh is our enemy. And yes, the devil is our enemy. Yes, he is. And all of his minions. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I've heard Brother Buddy say this many times. The devil's not out to annoy you. He's out to destroy you. Now, as I said, it may not be the devil directly. It may be one of his minions. It may be his demons. There are many. I mean, if our eyes could be open like that little servant of Elisha and could see the spiritual realm around us, we'd be terrified probably. We'd be terrified of the angels that are there to protect us. You know, there was never an angel anywhere in Scripture that ever appeared to a man where one of the first things he had to say wasn't, fear not. Because every time an angel showed up, everybody hit the ground. Some of them fell down and tried to worship angels. He said, fear not. I'm not the one you worship. And he'd get them. The reason he said, fear not, is because it struck fear in their hearts.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.